So I want to welcome you all to this session. We are continuing our study in the book of Daniel. We are in Daniel chapter 7. Amen. And as I've said before, we will do this chapter in two parts. So come back next week so you can hear the second part. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Let's start. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 7. And this is a study. Amen. We're going to study. And this is interactive. Amen. So let's go to Daniel chapter 7. And as you all know, I like to have you read the verses. It makes it a little easier for my voice and my breath. Amen. So we're going to start with the first verse. And I will take anyone to read verse 1. Amen. Pastor, read it.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts.
Okay, so let me give you some background. As you all know, this is Daniel, the prophet. I mean, he's got a prophetic book. He was in exile in the land of Babylon. Amen? So we all know that, right? He was in exile in the land of Babylon. He was one of the young men taken captive when Babylon went against Israel, Jerusalem. Amen? Now he's not a young man anymore, but he's having these dreams. Amen? So it says, in the first year of Belshazzar. That refers to the year 556 B.C. Amen? Amen. When Belshazzar was co-regent with the king, his father. Amen. And this was the Babylonian Empire. This was before it was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay. So this is Babylon, and it's an empire, which means it rules the world. Amen. So Daniel says, listen to what he says. He said, I had a dream and visions. So we got to distinguish between dreams and visions. Amen. I know the pastor has had visions. Amen. Others of you have had visions, but we've also had dreams. Amen. So dreams are while you're asleep. Okay, subconscious. Those are dreams. Visions you have while you're awake. You all of a sudden you go into like a trance type thing and you begin to see a vision. So he's asleep and this is what's happening. He's dreaming and he's having visions. Amen. Now, visions, you know, or rather dreams, right? Dreams can vary and are often less clear. You know, you have a dream and you say, I had this dream, but what does it mean, right? Mm-hmm. But they're more difficult than visions, amen? Visions, you're aware of the vision, amen? So this is what Daniel is going through while he's in bed, amen? So let's go to verse 2.
Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea.
And read 3 also.
And your great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other.
Continue. Go to verse 3. Continue. 2 and 3.
I did 2 and 3.
Two and three. Okay. Okay. And 4. Okay. I have it. Right. So he's telling you, right? He sees four winds of heaven stirring the great sea. And he sees four beasts come out of the sea. Mm-hmm. Remember, these are prophetic. These are prophetic dreams. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm teaching on this is because of the times that we're in. You have to see what's happening prophetically, politically. You have to see that God is letting us know the times that we're in. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the four winds, what they symbolize is power. Tumultuous and global forces, political upheaval, and the divine judgment that God uses to stir up the nations of the world and bring around the rise and the fall of empires. So he's seeing these winds, but they symbolize what God is doing, the forces that God is using to bring about what he wants. Amen? We see it in the natural, but it's spiritual what's going on. Amen? Like I said, they're not literal currents. Amen? But they're unstoppable forces. Amen? And they represent the conflicts. Amen? The political movements, the spiritual currents that God orchestrates, which is basically what I'm saying, to fulfill his prophetic purpose. You get that? This is not, he's not seeing this literally. Mm-hmm. He's dreaming and he's having these visions, and God is showing him, I cause forces to bring about what I want. That's why we as Christians, we have to be at peace. We have to be at peace knowing that God is in control. Man is not in control. God is in control. And whether we agree or disagree, we have the peace of God. We have the peace of God because we know that our King is in control. Amen? Mm. Now, what great sea is this? That the vision... Well, this is the Mediterranean Sea. Remember that this is the geographical location mm-hmm. where Daniel is, where all these nations converge, the Middle East and part of Europe, right? Europe, the Mediterranean. This is the sea they call the Great Sea. So he's, you know, this is what he's seeing. And then what does he see? He sees four beasts come up out of the sea. Amen? Come up out of the sea. Now, the seas generally represent nations, multitude of nations. Amen? Peoples. So out of this, these nations, these peoples, what, he's seeing four beasts come up. Amen? Mm-hmm. Somebody read verse 4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the man's heart was given to it. Okay, so here it is, a lion, okay? Now, I am going to give to you what traditionally is believed to be this explanation, amen? What the theologians believe, mm-hmm. what the pastors believe this represents. Now, for them, it represents, the reason I'm making a distinguish between I say for them, is because I'm going to give you another interpretation. I'm just going to give it to you. Amen? It represents the Babylonian Empire. Amen? Do you remember when we taught on the statue that Nebuchadnezzar made with yes. the head of gold? Amen? Mm-hmm. The breast of silver? Amen? Okay. Then it was bronze, and then it was iron. And in Daniel chapter 2, the explanation was it represented different empires that would rise up during the course of time. So this is the head of gold that we spoke of, the Babylonian Empire. And why? Why do theologians believe that? Okay? Because Babylon was a common symbol for Babylon. A lion was the common symbol for Babylon. Its wings represented the swiftness of the conquest of how Babylon conquered nations swiftly. Amen. And it, you know, it aligns with the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. You all remember Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, right? That God turned him into a beast for 7 years. Amen. The figures of the winged lions were found, and this is architecturally, they were found guarding the Babylonian palaces. They were winged lions, amen, and they are seen on the, when the excavation was done in Iraq. Because Babylon was the modern-day nation of Iraq, not Iran, but Iraq, amen? And when they did the excavations on the Ishtar Gate was found winged lions, amen? Now, what's the Ishtar Gate? The Ishtar Gate was the eighth gate to the inner city wall of Babylon. So because of these symbols and the fact that they excavated, found these, amen, they believe that that first beast represents Babylon. Amen. Now, where's the Ishtar Gate today? It's in Germany. It's in a museum in Germany. It is not in Iraq. You remember when ISIS, the terrorists, went through Iraq and destroyed any symbolism. It destroyed many of his architectural, many of his architecture, which to them represented blasphemy to their God, Allah. This gate is in a museum in Germany. Amen. Well, you know, they had fragments of it, amen. They reconstructed it, they put it on display, but they are still original fragments in Iraq. So so what am I saying? That the lion in Daniel's vision represents the nation of Babylon, the first nation to rise up. Now, quite a number of years ago, I did a number of teachings which were from Irving Baxter. I don't know if any of you remember Irving Baxter, but he was a Pentecostal pastor, teacher, and theologian. He died during COVID. He was about 79 or thereabouts, and he died from COVID during COVID. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you what he said this represented. I'm not saying that I agree with him or I disagree. I'm just giving you other perspectives because I find it fascinating. Amen. Now, here's what he said. Here's what he said. By the way, he was a president of End Time Ministries, if you've ever heard of them. And he was a United Pentecostal pastor. He says, this is what he says, that the lion represents Great Britain. And he says that because it had, remember, and as we read, the lion had eagle's wings, right? And the eagle's wings were separated from it. So he says the eagle's wings represent the United States because Britain was, we were a colony of Britain, right? You all know
his, right.
Right? We were a colony. Mm-hmm. And then in the revolution, the American Revolution, we tore away. And eagle's wings is our symbol, right? Mm-hmm. That's our national symbol. So this is what he said. And then he said, it stood up when it says It says it stood up like a man, right? Mm-hmm. Remember where we were reading this? You can go mm-hmm. back yeah. and look at it. It said it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So he says this represents our symbol of Uncle Sam, mm-hmm. a man. So this was his theology. And you know what's funny about it? This verse is chapter 7, verse 4. What is 7 and 4? It's our Independence Day. It's our Independence Day. Mm-hmm. So this is what he said. So I'm not telling you whether to believe him or believe the traditional theologians, but it's food for thought. Amen? It's always good to know. You know, sometimes we Christians are too narrow-minded, and we have to look at everything. Amen? God's put it out there. We're not denying Christ. We're not denying the Trinity. We're saved, and we're going to heaven because we're saved. And your salvation is irrevocable. God doesn't take it back. Amen? We are saved. You might mess around with it, you know? We might mess around with it, but God doesn't take our salvation from us. Amen? He said it's not based on works. He said it's a grace gift. It's given to you by grace. Amen? Unmerited favor. Amen? So this is, okay, so let's keep moving forward. Amen? Let's go to, let me see where I'm at. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 5. And I'll take someone to read verse 5.
And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh.
Amen, amen. So this, again, remember the statue in Daniel 7. Who conquered Babylon? It was the Medo-Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the next empire to rise up and conquer Babylon. You remember when Babylon's co-regent Belshazzar was, he saw fingers writing on the wall? You remember that?
Yes. Remember?
And then Daniel said, you know, you've been weighed in the balances, mm-hmm. you have fallen short, and your kingdom is taken from you. That was the Babylonian kingdom, and this is the kingdom that took over the Medo-Persian Empire. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, that's the kingdom. Now, because it was a strong, fierce, conquering power that followed the Babylonian Empire, similar to a bear's characteristics and predatory nature. That's the description. Predatory, like a bear, you know? And the bear's posture, he's raised on one side, right?
Yes.
And he has 3 ribs in its mouth. So this symbolizes the Persian Empire's dominance within the empire and the three significant kingdoms. So the Persian Empire conquered Libya, conquered Babylon, and conquered Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way theologians see it. Amen? That this is the, and I'm not saying that's wrong. Amen? This is the Medo-Persian Empire, and I'll tell you later why. This is the Medo-Persian Empire. This is what it represents. Okay, so he's having these dreams, and this is the interpretation. Later in the chapter, an angel will interpret again for him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Not as deep, but there will come an interpretation. Amen? Now, what does Urban Baxter believe? What did he believe? Amen. He believed that the bear represented Russia. Right?
Yes.
What's the symbol of Russia today? A bear. Right?
A bear.
Right? Okay. So, and the three ribs held in its mouth represented the nations that Russia would conquer in the end times. Now, I'm giving you interpretations that he did more than 15 years ago, okay? Now, he says that Russia would conquer Ukraine, Latvia, and Estonia. So that's what the three bones in the bear's mouth represented.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it was a sign of the end times when the bear Russia would devour much flesh by conquering these nations. And it would be a signal that humanity was in the final phase of the end times.
Mm.
It's interesting. Mm. Find it interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and it would be the end of the age before the Battle of Armageddon. This is what he believed, okay?
Yes.
And what he taught, and many people believe. Now, again, what you think and you interpret and you believe has nothing to do with your salvation. You're right. Saved because mm-hmm. you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's read verse 6. Let's read verse 6.
After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it.
Okay. So, the traditional understanding is that this is the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. Okay? Remember, gold, silver, bronze. Bronze of the statue in Daniel chapter 2 represents the Grecian Empire, the Greek Empire. The leopard's head, to theologians, represents the speed at which Alexander the Great conquered this empire. Amen? Remember, an empire is not nation. A nation. An empire is nations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. So that's just, so the swiftness of a leopard said to them that it represented the swiftness of Alexander's conquest, amen, of the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the next empire, right? And then he said that the four heads and four wings represent the divisions of his empire among his four generals after his death. After Alexander, he died very young. He died at about 33, something like that.
Yep.
And he had four generals. And his empire was divided among these four generals. So that's the traditional. Now, let me tell you what Irving Baxter said. Irving Baxter said, the leopard represents Germany. In 1965, Germany came up with the first Leopard tank. And it was a main battle tank, okay? It was developed by Porsche of West Germany, amen? It entered into service in 1965. It was designed to be mobile. Can you imagine a tank being mobile? A tank is heavy, normally, but this was a mobile tank, and it was designed to focus on speed and power. So that he says, well, it's the leopard tank. This is a leopard, amen. It's focused on speed, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the four heads represent the number of times a nation will rise and fall. Wow. Germany has risen and fallen three times. Yes. World War I, World War I, Germany.
Yeah.
World War II, the Third Reich, Germany.
Right.
And in post-World War II, amen, the divided nation, amen.
Right.
Remember when the Berlin Wall came down? So he says these are three of the four times this nation has risen up. Therefore, he says Germany will rise again. That's his interpretation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read. Let me see here. Let's read verses 7 and 8.
After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns.
Oofa.
I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, their eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Oof.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
So this heavy beast is commonly understood as the revived Roman Empire. More powerful and destructive than in the past. On the statue, the fourth section was iron, representing Rome, the Roman Empire. After Alexander the Great came, the empire that came into being was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, you know, during the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire, amen, and before, amen. So it's this empire is understood as the revived Roman Empire, because we believe that in the end times, an empire will arise out of basically the geographical location of the empire of Rome. That's Europe. That's mm-hmm. Europe, North Africa. I mean, Rome conquered, you know, vast areas. Amen. The Middle East, you know, Rome was a vast empire. So we believe that this empire will rise again. And the 10 horns represents 10 future rulers under this empire. Amen. And the little horn represents, what do you think the little horn with speaking blasphemy, speaking pompous words, who do you think the little horn represents? Heaven's Rose, you know. Who does it represent? The Antichrist.
Oh.
Antichrist.
Right.
This little horn is going to be a later arrogant ruler under this system. Amen? If you don't know that, you should know that, because in the end times, the Bible says that a ruler is going to arise. Amen?
Amen.
And that he's going to dominate the world, and that he is going to speak arrogant words against God Almighty, and that he's going to be one to be worshipped as God. Amen? So let me tell you, Irving Baxter agrees that this is the end time empire, but he calls it the Holy Roman Empire.
The Holy Roman Empire.
That's what he calls it. Theologians, other theologians call it the revived Roman Empire. Now, so again, a powerful kingdom that will arise in the last days. Amen. And this is a bit of information here, but I'll tell it to you anyway.
Okay.
If it's too much, tell me stop. This is how Irving Baxter connected to this, okay? I'm going to read this to you. He taught that the Roman Empire was the original fulfillment of this prophecy and that the medieval Holy Roman Empire was its continuation after the Roman Empire collapsed. So what he's saying, after the Roman Empire collapsed, the empire that came into being was the Holy Roman Empire. The reason, there's a historical reasons for that, for his thought on that, because when the Roman Empire was existing, there was always
competition.
Yes, competitions or fight between the Pope and the kings.
Yeah.
The kings wanted to rule. Remember, the Roman Empire is ruled by kings, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Successive kings. They wanted to rule, but the popes wanted to rule, and they were always fighting against each other. So what Irving Baxter is saying, it didn't really cease to exist.
Right.
It became the Holy Roman Empire, where the Pope ruled. This is his thought, amen? And he's saying that this prophetic empire laid dormant for a time after the Holy Roman Empire officially ended in 1806. So the official Holy Roman Empire ended in 1806. So he's saying that laid dormant, but that's the empire that is arising. Amen. It'll be a reborn Holy Roman Empire. And what he believed is that the formation of the European Union, right? Europe, mm-hmm. We have Europe today. You
yes.
have the European Union.
Yes.
I remember seeing its flag, but I don't. Go ahead, Vinny. Let me know. Okay. So it constitutes this European Union is the fulfillment of this prophecy. It constitutes the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. Amen?
Amen.
This is what he believed. And the significance of the name, by using the name Holy Roman Empire for the EU, for the European Union, amen, Baxter connected the political events, the modern events, directly to biblical prophecy. So anyway, the point is that he believes that the empire has already reborn. And I remember studying this in the past, I remember looking at their flag, and anyway, look up the flag of the Holy Roman Empire or the European Union. Look up its flag and look up its symbolism, because I remember when I studied this like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, he connected the symbols of the European Union to the revived Holy Roman Empire. Yes, Vinny?
It's a circle with 12 stars.
Right. And then there's something else with a...
An eagle, I think.
A what? No, I don't... anyway, look it up. Look up the symbolism. And he connected that symbolism. So, again, his interpretation is that this empire has already begun. And it is the European Union. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Give me the flag of the European Union.
It's 12 gold stars.
Yeah, 12 gold stars. And
it says, it's a symbolism. It's the 12 stars symbolizes perfection and completeness, while the circle represents unity and harmony.
Okay. All right. So, unity, that's what, you know, the... the 7 years, the beginning of the 7 years. We know that the Antichrist is going to come out of Europe, somewhere out of Europe, out of the revived Roman Empire. We know that the European Union came together as a political, not only economical, it started first as an economical entity to be able to compete with nations like the United States, which was so vast, and they were smaller countries in Europe. So they came together originally as the European market, I think it was, but then they became the European Union, and they are now a political force that can compete against nations like the United States, which are huge. So now they're big enough. And they're not only Europe. They have nations in Eastern Europe that have joined the European. You have Poland, you have Finland, you have all these different, Norway, you have all these nations that have joined the European Union. So this is what he believes, okay? Okay. So we've given you interpretations of these four beasts in Daniel's dream. So God is showing Daniel what's going to be happening. And he's giving him a vision of the end times, because these other nations have come and gone, right? They've come and gone. There's only the revived Roman Empire. So, okay. So we're going to take this through, because I've given you a lot. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Yes.
And I watched till thorns were put in place.
Thrones.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thrones.
I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the book were opened.
Amen. The ancient of days. Who is the ancient of days? God the Father.
Amen.
God the Father is the Ancient of Days.
Yes.
Amen. That's who he is, God the Father.
Amen.
See, you have no description. We never have any description of his face. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
This is the Ancient of Days. And then we get a description of his throne, right? Throne. It says, fiery flame. Amen? What does that represent? Amen? Mm-hmm. Fiery flame. First, it represents the brilliant manifestation of his splendor. Here's a throne, fiery flame, but it also represents, what'd you say, Mark?
Judgment.
Yep, it also represents his judgment. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you what Isaiah 66, 15 through 16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's powerful.
Wow.
That tells you that many will not accept Christ. That's what that tells you.
Yes.
Because it says, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Thank you, God, that that's not us. Mm-hmm. Not because we're perfect, not because we do right all the time, mm-hmm. but because he's a just and a righteous God, and he saved us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then it says, thousands ministered to him, right?
Yes.
Who are these thousands? Let's look here. And it says, thousands ministered him. 10,000 stood behind him. So thousands ministered him. That's the innumerable angels that are before his throne ministering to him. Amen? And then it says, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. This describes humanity standing before the judgment of God. Amen. Remember, we're not in this. We're at the bema seat of Christ, where we will receive rewards based on our works. This is the judgment of the unsaved. We don't take part in this.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Why? Because we were judged when Christ was nailed to that cross, and he paid our sin price with his precious blood. So we are not part of this. We are saved. But there is a judgment for the righteous, and it's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is where you will receive, you and I will receive rewards based on our works, on our righteous works. We're not saved because of our works, mm-hmm. because it's a grace gift, but we will receive rewards. Right. You want to check it out? Research the Bema Seat of Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. And then it says, the court was seated and the books were opened. God sits as the ultimate judge of mankind. God is the judge. You're not the judge. I'm not the judge. We are not here to judge people. We're not. God says, don't judge, because in the same manner that you judge, you will be judged.
Amen.
We pray for the lost. We don't judge them. I do not like when ministers keep judging the lost. We've all been there. But for the sake of Christ, we have been saved.
Amen.
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 So God is the judge, because God can see into every heart. We tend to judge people, but we don't know what's going on in their heart and in their lives. You know? And I gave you a little story about that one time when I went to a pharmacy, and the girl was very rude. And I sarcastically said to her, "Oh, you're having a bad day." And immediately the Holy Spirit checked me. Yeah. He said to me, "You don't know what she went through today." Hmm. And that really checked me. That's why I love. That's what we have to do. Your judgment will not bring anyone to Christ, but right. Your love will.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. So we're to love, we're not to judge. And when you feel the judgmental thought coming into your mind, what does the word say? Check it against the word of God. Bring it down. Bring those thoughts and bring those thrones and thoughts and things that are contrary to the word of God. Mm-hmm. Submit them to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So the books were open. What books? The book of life.
Books of life, yeah.
Psalm 69:28. The book of remembrance, Malachi 3:16. The book of life, like I said before, Philippians 4:3, Revelations 3:15, and so on and so forth. Amen? So, I'm going to leave you right here. I think I've given you a lot of information. Chew it, Think about it. Research it. Maybe you have something you can teach me. Amen? Wow. You can something that you can give to me. Research it. If you find out something contrary, let me know. Amen? Because we are all learning together. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll continue next week. And Pastor Bernice, I turn this over to you. Thank you all for being present. And I hope that it ministered to you. Amen.